Hey guys, welcome to the B-Side. Today for our guest, we have Daniel Ju. What's up, Daniel?
What's up?
So I remember, Daniel, one of the first times I met you, you won the putting competition at our church, I think it was Missions Golf Tournament.
Yeah.
Tell me how that feel.
It was strange because I was pretty new to CCPC at the time. I knew maybe three people max, and those were the people I was playing with. And so for people who don't know, it's like there's this one hole in the middle and there's this like 40, 50, 60 people on a bigger circle. And at the same time, we all hit at the same time. And so when they say go, I hit my ball and it went way left. So I stopped looking because I knew I was done. And then they call my number and I guess it hit someone else's ball and went in. And
God's providence right there.
Yeah, it actually is God's providence. But
what did you win?
I won a set of Pro V1s.
Oh, did you use those that day?
No, okay. I still haven't touched them.
You still haven't touched? Isn't the point of the golf balls to use them?
Yeah, but there's like sentimental value to
that's
it.
True, that's true, that's like, true. Do you keep them like on a pedestal in your room?
No, I just keep them in my trunk.
Yeah. And how did you guys hit that day?
Not well.
Not well?
Yeah. I think that first putt was the only putt I sunk.
Yo! Yeah. Hey, but you got one at least. I don't think I got one the entire day. You guys going to do it again this next year then?
Yeah, we actually have a bet with you, actually.
Ooh, I don't remember that, but I'm down. What was the bet?
It's you.
Oh,
and
I do remember.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to break even.
Break even, yeah,
break
yeah.
Even, yeah.
You have confidence?
Not these days. 2 months ago, I was confident.
Hey, man, you were confident when you made that bet a month ago.
I was, but I've been humbled since.
I mean, what? You go to the range, you hit okay on the range, you go to the course. Ooh.
I don't hit okay.
Yo,
at the
but
range.
You know, sometimes when you hit really well on the range, you go to the course, you're just terrible. But then maybe if you're terrible on the range, you're good on the course.
Ideally, yeah, these days I'm just stuck with the thought. I'm an iPad kid when it comes to golf.
Mm. I don't know how that relates. You gotta enlighten me.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not in front of a screen or if it's not indoors, I just cannot hit the
ball. I see. So you gotta stop playing indoors. That's the real...
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think it's like a psych, like you're psyching yourself out or something when you're outside?
Probably. I think there's some like discomfort that's just causing me to be like...
Like the pressure's on. It's like now you're actually hitting a real ball.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm. Mm. But I mean, dude, you're still in like your first full year of golfing, you know, it's like you still have way more years and I'm sure you're going to improve in the next month, honestly, just by hitting. How often do you guys go to the range or hit?
Maybe like once a week-ish.
Okay. Yeah.
So when there's like downtime at my job, I can just like hit balls.
Sure. And do you guys go to the courses every now and then just to practice and see? Because it's so different from when you're on the course and you're hitting from the rough than when you're hitting from even the rough in a simulator.
Yeah. Yeah, so we started going again last week. Mm-hmm. We went to Oakmont par 3 and...
Oakmont,
sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But that was an experience, yeah. That's a very low starting point. But
yeah. Well, hey, you can only go up from there, actually. Did you get any pars?
That's true. I might have gotten one.
Hey!
Maybe.
You're starting. Dude, it's the worst when you're hitting par threes and then you just shank your like 9-iron into the wood. You're like, dude, that's what's going to happen, man. I can't do this. You relate?
Yeah.
So what's the best part of your game right now?
Best part of my game?
Nothing comes to mind. Hey, it is what it is. So Daniel, we actually do a lot of research when we do these interviews. And one thing that came up when we were doing this research is you had quite the prolific rap career in college. you mind talking about that a little bit? Was that just for fun? You guys just chilling, jamming out?
Shoot. I knew this would come to haunt me.
You did? Hey, man.
Yeah, so it started in high school when my friend, I was the only one that drove back then. So my friend would be in my car and he would just start turning on beats and he'd be like, yo, Daniel, let's rap. And so we just started like freestyling for fun.
Yo.
Just like on the way to wherever. And well, we didn't go to college together. So I went to UVA and I was just chilling in one of the dorms. And then I forgot why, but I think Christian was rapping or something. And somehow we came up with the idea, yo, let's rap for our upcoming like Christmas Advent for GCF, like large group. I was like, I'm down. And then so we did that. And it kind of became a tradition from there where we would try to make songs and like rap for the big events at GCF.
So it happened for multiple years.
Yeah.
Dang,
yeah.
I think that must have been really fun for you guys, but also just the entirety of the fellowship.
Yeah, it was.
You guys spent a long time prepping?
I think we like wrote it the night before usually. It's like 5
a.m. Hey, it's off the dome at that killing. Point.
Yeah. Yeah, so when we were first years, we actually wrote this one song for our fourth year banquet for the graduating class, but we didn't end up performing it because of time reasons, I think. And we actually performed it for our fourth year banquet when we graduated. And yeah, it was crazy to see how the things we wrote back in 2018 were still what we were going through in 2022.
Ooh, so. That's, So going through those times, do you think you changed a lot throughout your college experience?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in like what ways?
I think I came into college as a bot.
A bot?
Yeah. I wasn't able to like feel, I wasn't able to communicate or anything. And by the time I graduated, I'd like to say I improved a little bit in each of those categories.
Do you think that was an intentional improvement or like you kind of just worked your way up through there just through more or less happenstance?
I think both. I think there was this one moment either in 2019 or 2018 where I was just like, life does not look the way I expect it to look. Specifically with like my friendships and kind of my relationship with church/the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, let's change that. And so I started like doing like small things to like build up towards.
Sure. Do you think that's what caused you to actually commit to the rapping thing? Just that, oh, let's throw myself out there a little bit and kind of do something that I'm not super comfortable, familiar with.
Not really. I think the rapping thing was just a combination of me being a yes man and me, well, I had a lot less shame back then. So I was just like, let's just do it. But yeah, it was good. The way God has used that time has been crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have a clip to show. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. You know, your heart jumped a little bit there.
A little.
Yeah. So actually, Daniel, one thing we like to ask on these podcasts is if you have any specific hot take in mind that you'd like to share with the studio audience.
Yeah. My hot take is, I don't think The Office is that funny.
Like all the seasons?
Yeah, all the seasons.
Yo, that's a little bit much, man. I think we got to walk that back a little. Why do you think that?
I don't know. I just don't find the humor very funny.
Mm. Do you find other like dry humor funny or is it just The Office?
I thought Parks and Rec was pretty good.
Mm.
I thought it was funnier than The Office in a lot of ways.
And did you watch The Office to the finale and then you're like, this is not very good? Or did you just watch like a couple seasons?
Yeah, I watched it till the end.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you have full understanding.
Yeah.
And you know, some people watch The Office like dozens of times and you're like, once and nope, not very funny.
Yeah. Someone asked me, dude, if you don't think it's funny, what kept you going until the end? And I told them like the plot.
That's crazy. Like,
The Office's plot was what kept me going.
Huh. Do you think generally you're like a plot-oriented guy or is that just like there's nothing else that...
I think I'm more so of like a character relationship guy.
Hmm.
Like, I just like watching the characters interact in like different situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, bring characters up. I hear you're kind of into your book reading era these days. Is that right?
That is an assessment of my life.
You got any favorite books recently?
Probably The Meaning of Marriage.
Meaning of Marriage, Tim Keller?
Yeah. I don't think I read much fiction.
Okay, gotcha. How long ago did you read Meaning of Marriage?
How long ago?
Yeah.
I think I started that in summer of last year, and I finished around like the end of summer.
Okay, okay. Any like really things that stuck with you?
No.
So
at the
really
time
it
did, but right now I can't recall any.
Right now you can't recall any?
Yeah.
So what's why do you like nonfiction books so much right now? Or supposedly?
I just think it's interesting to read. In a way, The Meaning of Marriage is like, I wouldn't classify it as a self-help book, but in a way it's kind of written as one. And so I think just the knowledge and the wisdom that these authors have is interesting to read.
Mm-hmm. Do you kind of take their assessments as your own, or do you use it more of like a building block to see where you want to be thinking, where you want to go?
I just kind of take it for what it is and then kind of like think, do I agree? Is that what the Bible says? It's less of like a active, I'm going to make a decision on what I think or what I believe. And it's more of, I like read the words and then I kind of let it steep in like my mind and my heart. And then, just kind of see what sticks almost.
Gotcha. So you're an active reader and seeing which areas make sense. And so do you ever like kind of disregard specific takeaways from books because you don't agree with like, the buildup or the conclusion?
Yeah, so I actually read The Sacred Search before The Meaning of Marriage. Uh-huh. That's what led me to actually pick it up.
Is it a similar topic?
Similar topic,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
And yeah, I think a lot of people would agree, but I think The Sacred Search is very almost like sensational.
Mm.
And
in what way?
It's like sometimes the author would take like on surface very innocuous like moments and like to say he's painting this story about a certain relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it'll always lead to like divorce of like, oh, you're gonna be miserable, like you're gonna harbor such bitter feelings towards your wife, like make the better choice now. And I think the overall like message that he's trying to portray is good, but I think the way he wrote it is very, you can easily get swept up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's part of the book that I didn't really resonate with.
Gotcha. Huh. Do you think in general when you're reading these, do you like ever just quit reading because you're like, okay, I'm not going to get much from this book, or do you just try to read every book to completion?
I've definitely quit books before. I actually was in a book club with a few of my friends last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had this thing where I just say yes. But then as the thing actually approaches, I'm like, dang, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yo, why did I make plans?
And so specifically for this book club, we decided to read The Exceptions. It was based on, I believe it was based on like the scientist Nancy Hopkins back in MIT back in like the 1900s. And at the time I was like, yeah, I'm down to read it. But when I actually picked it up, I was like, dang, I don't want to read this. And so I think I read like maybe 50 pages and then we never met again.
And then you never met again.
Yeah.
Do you do other book clubs or is it mostly just that one?
There's just that one.
Okay. And you're like, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually decided to read The Meaning of Marriage and to meet up on that. But I don't think we've met up yet.
Okay, gotcha.
It's been like 6 months, so.
Do you like discussing like the takeaways you got from books, or is it mostly like an internalized thing?
I like discussing them. I think I can do a better job of like actually remembering details. Because in some ways it feels like I read books for the vibes. I'm just like, dude, you got to read this. It made me feel this way.
Yeah.
And they're like,
sensational.
What did you take away from it? And I'm just like, let me get back to you on that. But yeah.
Yeah. Anything come back to mind for Meaning of Marriage and why you like it so much?
So I think at the very end-ish of the book, Tim Keller quotes this one person. I can't remember the quote exactly, but she was like, I could find like my husband like tomorrow because mm-hmm. God is so good to me. And I could go my entire life like not being married because God is so good to me.
Mm.
And I really like that quote. And I think that kind of summarizes the whole part of the book where marriage isn't like the end goal.
Okay.
Like God is.
Yeah. And how do you think that shaped how you've lived out your life this past year?
I think this past year there has been a lot of, it's like freedom, I guess. Mm. I don't think I was particularly, I want to be married so bad right now. Like so bad that I'm like feeling this way or that way. But I think reading the book, it helped me like put that lack of like urgency into kind of perspective where I think in many ways I have idolized marriage in my heart. And I think we do live in a culture where marriage is so easily idolized and pushed onto people. But reading it, it was like, nah, even like God-given things like marriage, you can turn those into idols.
Sure. So how do you want to personally view marriage now?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe that's a little bit too deep for this talk.
Yeah. I think if you asked me 4 months ago, I would have known. But these days, it's like life is a whirlwind.
Sure. And I mean, honestly, realistically, we have no personal attachment to the idea of marriage right now because we've never been married. I've never been particularly close. So, it makes sense to not. I think it's a good thing that we can say that we don't really know yet, you know, and then we can work our way to that understanding, but doesn't mean we're going to arrive there even when we do get married or if. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. So, Daniel, I hear that, I know for a fact that you've been more heavily involved in ministry this past year and really just serving the church, right? And, you know, you've came about a year and a half ago, right? So I think it's, I love seeing you serve in college ministry, just going out to Bridges events, doing things like that. What's been the big push for you for that? And like, do you know where that drive comes from?
Yeah. I think in terms of college ministry, even in college, I knew, wow, this time is very special to me. And I would love to be able to like serve in college in some capacity. So I think that has always been like buried in my heart a little. And I think last year was just an intersection of like opportunity and kind of the rekindling of that like conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you have like a real desire for intentionality and this is how you're directing it? Or do you think you really just had a specific heart for college ministry in particular?
I think I had a specific heart for college ministry in particular. Yeah, but I think for other areas of like serving, I think what you just said on specific intentionality is like, yeah, I think that is my driving factor.
Gotcha. So focusing in on that college ministry aspect a little bit, what has serving been like for you in this past year? And what do you want to make of it for this upcoming cycle?
Yeah, something I didn't expect was for CCM to be like prayer ministry part two. Yeah, before our college retreat back in January, there wasn't much we could do to like foster relationships with these kids. And so I think the majority of the brunt work of CCM was just like prayer, just keeping the students in our mind and in our hearts and just reaching out like when we could, catching up when we could, if they were receptive to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And do you think the kids have been receptive to that?
Yeah.
Kids anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I shouldn't call them kids. These young men and young women.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think their hearts are definitely opening up. Yeah, even in like the four short months from before college ministry to now, seeing their just like demeanor and the way they carry themselves is, it's like very different. Mm-hmm. And it's encouraging to see.
Do you think a ministry like CCM is something they've really been pining for? Or do you think you're really pushing as something that you would want them to enjoy?
I'm not sure if, I won't speak on their behalf.
Yeah, that's good. There's so many.
Yeah. I think if I were in their shoes, it would be one of those things that's like, it's just another like church thing.
Yeah.
Like no biggie, but it's one of those things where 10 years later, I'd be like, wow, that was like special. Not everyone has that. Mm-hmm. And I like really appreciate that.
Sure. And I'm sure you look back on your college time and really now appreciate the, I guess, experience you're able to have throughout your own college ministry experiences.
I actually didn't have college ministry when I was in college.
Okay.
And so I think that is partly why I'm like, yeah, I think part of me is like, I want to be part of the ministry that wasn't there for me.
Gotcha.
Or that wasn't existent.
So is the ministry that you're cultivating right now, is that pretty much 100% in line with what you would kind of most want from a ministry? Or are you kind of working with the system to kind of meet the ministry where it's at?
I say mainly the former, probably a little bit of the latter, but yeah, I say mainly the former because my vision of CCM from the very beginning was very like relationship focused. And I think the relationship building with the students is happening. So that's good. And not only a relationship with the students, but relationship with the other leaders as well. And like kind of fostering that culture that we want to like live out.
Sure.
I say a little bit of the latter because, I mean, there's always like, you're always going to have to meet ministry like where it's at. Like not everything is going to be perfect, but yeah, I think everything has been like great so far, and I think Alex has been doing a good job.
Good Yeah, and the students are back this week, right? So have you guys have anything planned for this upcoming week?
Yeah, so this past Sunday we had our like CCM lunch out, so we had students from I believe VCU,
JMU,
Tech, not JMU, sorry, I can't remember all the colleges, but
there's a lot of
those. And then
those.
Yeah, this upcoming Sunday, we're planning on hosting another one for the other students. Yeah.
Good. And they've been pretty receptive to coming out. I know getting anyone to respond to text messages is pretty tough. It's like cold calling people for sales.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think I'm the right person to speak to. I think Alex is really working on getting these kids or students, young men
come
and
on,
young
man.
Women in
come
the
on.
Making
come
to
on.
Come.
Yeah. Do you think you're personally gaining a lot out of being a college ministry leader? Or is it you trying to just serve to where you feel like called to serve?
I think both. Yeah. Both.
Any particular growth areas for yourself?
I think CCM is showing me how, I guess, like prideful I am. Yeah, we recently had a panel for the leaders, and I don't think anything like controversial or crazy was said at the panel. But for some reason, I guess it wasn't really the panel, but it was more so that entire day. There was just something like in my heart that was just like, and looking back on it, I think that was a little bit of pride where it's like, yeah, like I said, it wasn't anything the sister said or what Alex said per se, but it was just, I think the circumstances, I was just like,
Do you think you have visions for what you want this ministry to evolve into, or are you kind of working it day by day?
I think it's more so working it day by day. At the very beginning, we had kind of like this vision session where like, let's dream big.
Yeah.
And then we listed all these ideas of like what we think CCM could be in like, what, 3 years, 2 years, four, what have you. And yeah, we did not reach that bar.
I was about to say, that was my next question.
Yet. But I think the foundation, like the building blocks, which is fostering a relationship with these students, which is like the most important part, is what's taking place. Sure. And so,
yeah,
I'm happy with that.
Awesome. And how many students are you guys at right now?
Probably around 15 to 24-ish.
Gotcha. And you have about 10 leaders?
Yeah, 10.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, actually, 11. We recently added David Yoon.
Oh, let's go. Yo, adding people to the ministry. I love it. Do you really feel like a sense of, brother and sisterhood to the people you're serving with? Do you guys feel like you feel like you're really running that race together? Or is it more individual?
I think beforehand, it definitely felt kind of individual. But ever since College Retreat, I think everyone has kind of like jumped on the same ship together. And it's like, let's sail these seas.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Sorry.
Yeah. So Daniel, I going back to how you're still relatively new to CCPC, right? You're again, mm-hmm. 2 years. And talking about how you were bought when you entered college, not your words, not mine. But building community in general is not easy. I'm sure you're noticing that for your students as well. What has been the best way for you to meet new people? Have you been focusing on that? And how has your vision of community changed since when you're in college?
Yeah, I guess I can start with how community has been for me in CCPC. Actually, a lot of my friends already came to CCPC. And so when I came, it was just like, oh, there's my spot. I'll just go there. And I stayed in that spot for a pretty long time. And I think there was this sense of me or this part of me that was like, I don't think this is like what community fully has to offer. Mm. How can I like stand in this foyer speaking to my friends, like the same people every week, which is like not bad, and then not know the person I'm like standing right next to.
Sure.
And I think that didn't sit right with me. And so I think in the process of like finding, or maybe not finding, but kind of like expounding on that community at CCPC, I think there are like multiple small ways that I've been really enjoying. One, just being like saying hi, just being like, hey, so glad you're here. Like Pastor Hughie said, like, so glad you're here.
Even that's not easy, man, for like, you're just meeting brand newcomers.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be lying if I said I'm great at that or even like good or decent at that. It's definitely a work in progress, but even like the small ways, they've been like very good.
Sure. And I'm going to be honest, I see a lot of intentionality in you in that and just other areas of your walk in college ministry too. Do you think that's been a more recent development, or do you think you really kind of had that push to kind of be more intentional in the short, medium, long term?
I think the idea of intentionality is a recurring theme in my life. I felt it in high school, didn't do too well. I felt it in college. I ended up bitter. And I feel it now again. And who knows how I feel, or retrospectively, who knows what I'll think of now, 5 years from now. But right now I can say, like, I think God is leading me well. Which, you know, obviously, you know, he's God.
He's God.
I think right now I'm able to like, just like rest knowing that he's establishing my path.
Hmm. Gotcha. So the intentionality now isn't with like a set goal in mind, but you know you have to be intentional because that's kind of how God's directing you.
Yeah. So I want like CCPC to be very welcoming. Yeah. Specifically, we're one, so welcoming, and two, so I guess like integrated with each other, for lack of a better term, that when a newcomer walks in, everyone just knows, oh, that person is a newcomer. And it's like, everyone just like flocks towards that.
Sure. Do you think like realistically that's because it was tough for you as a newcomer when you came here? Or is that something you just see and want to improve on?
Maybe a little bit of both. I definitely, for a long time, I definitely felt like kind of just like a faceless person in the foyer, or a faceless person coming to CTPC. I wouldn't say that was what mainly drove me to do this or that, but it was, or that's how it is in like every moderately sized church, every moderately sized like fellowship or anything. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
That makes sense. Yeah. So, you know, Bridges is a pretty big community at this point, right? So it's not like you can be best friends with every individual.
Yeah.
So what does it mean for you to have a connection with Bridges? And how like big would that breadth be for you?
I think just that comfort of extending an invitation to have like a conversation. And the comfort to accept that, that's an acceptable like baseline in my mind. That could change in a month or a year or two, but right now I think that's a good benchmark to aim for, where you're right that we can't go deep in every relationship, but I think setting the stage now to have the opportunity to go deep in any relationship, like wherever like God places you in someone's life, or wherever he places someone else in your life, to be able to expound on that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
And have you been satisfied with how you've, not complacent, but satisfied with how you've taken the steps towards building a community? Or are you really pining to like really push it to that next level?
I think I'm less concerned about like, I gotta drive this culture so other people will like follow me, or I gotta like do this so other people will do that. I think right now my focus is like, how do I be who I believe calls me to be? And that's something I struggled with in the past, where I was like, I'm doing all these things. Like, why aren't you guys like following me, or why aren't you guys doing that as well? And so I say that's why I say like I tried this in college, and then like it led to bitterness.
Gotcha.
Because I was like comparing. I was like, it's like you guys should be doing this. You guys should be doing that.
Do you find it tough to separate your value from failures and successes at this point, or do you think you've been able to kind of compartmentalize those?
I think. These days, failure and success are not the forefront of my thoughts or my emotions. So that's been good.
It's good.
Yeah.
That's solid.
But there is this part of me that's like, even though it's not, or like the outcome of whatever doesn't determine failure or success. What determines failure or success is how you did it, like how I did it.
Mm.
Like, Were you 100%, I guess?
Sure, sure.
And so there is a problem with that, where it's like, you're not always going to be 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
And so why are you viewing what you've done as like a failure?
Huh.
So I think that is what's on my mind these days. But
gotcha. Any specific examples of how that's affected you or inspired you? It's a little bit putting you on the spot. Sorry.
I think something that comes to the top of my head is like work. For context, I used to be a software engineer, like back in 2022 to 2023. And in many ways, my work there was a failure in terms of results. But I think what still haunts me to this day a little wasn't the outcome of that job, my attitude towards that job. I think in my mind it'll always be a failure because I didn't give it my all. Yeah, and like logically I can reconcile that. Back then, that was the best I could give. Like,
sure,
I was not in a very good place to be able to like give it my all. Like that was the best I could give.
Mm.
And I think there is a bit of healing with that. That's something a lot of my friends are telling me. They're like, dude, like God has redeemed. He is redeeming and he will redeem that time. And I believe that. I believe that.
Do you find it difficult to let go of that regret and having it kind of have a grasp on you? Or are you able to, at this point, accept that it happened and use it for God's glory and for your growth?
There are seasons to that.
Yeah.
I think the first year I was like, or I guess the first few months I was like, oh, like, blah. And then the latter months, I was like, yeah, like, this is just part of my story. This is part of the, like, beautiful picture that God, the perfect painter, is painting. And then these days, I'm like, apply, reject, apply, reject, yeah. Apply, reject. And it's like,
tough out there.
I'm like, maybe I did make a mistake. Yeah. And then when it comes to, like, traditional Korean or Asian American values, it's like, you did mess up. Mm. But when I think about how in this past year, year and a half, I've lost job, like money, like job security, possibly even like career growth, I've lost a lot of things. But in that process, I've gained Jesus again.
Hmm.
And I don't think I would trade that for anything.
I mean, you make me cry. That's crazy. That's I'd love to hear that. Can you conceptualize that now as not just like a moment of learning, growing, but as God's really calling for you in your life and how he planned you to live every minute of your life?
I don't know.
You don't know.
At the time, when I got the job, I was like, this is my calling, like to be excellent in this field, like to be excellent in this company, to be excellent in this position. And I think a theme these days is like living with loose hands. There's something Pastor Huey has been saying at our Romans roundtable on Tuesdays. He was saying how Paul, you know, he was the guy when it came to the Jewish faith. And even he missed the mark so badly on the gospel of Christ. So he's like, let's live with our like knowledge of like church, of like Bible, of like all these things with loose hands.
Mm.
And so that's something I'm trying to do where I thought my mission was to do well. My mission was to stay at that job. And a part of me is like, man, like I ran away from that. I'm the runaway. But I'm just trying to live with all that with loose hands. Like, I am where I need to be.
So has the trepidation of finding your next, job, has that declined at all? Or is it still tough and you are just learning to that you need to trust in God through that?
Could you define trepidation?
like scared worriness.
Scared worriness. Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah. So has the, oh, now I need to remember the question. So has the, are you still, kind of worried about how your next steps are going to go? Because, you know, we were talking about how it was tough for you to kind of commit and have the work under, like, be really committed to work, right? Or are you able to now more so trust that God's path for you is good and that whatever happens kind of happens?
Oh, yeah. I think there are two things to that. One, I think I already see God, like, laying out that path for me. So, like, my job at GTR right now, it's like, when I got it, I was reading like Joseph, the story of Joseph in the Bible. And I was like, God, like when Joseph was in prison, you built up the skills necessary there to lead Egypt well in the future. And so my time at GTR, like I'm just like mopping the floor, vacuuming. I'm like, God, you're building these up. You're building these skills up in me for later. I want to steward the small things well so I can steward the great things well as well. That said, yesterday I was going through LinkedIn jobs. I see infinite job postings and I'm just gripped with this like anxiety. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to apply to any of these. And I just shut my laptop. So there is a duality to it where that I'm just like kind of like walking through.
Yeah. Are you still writing your LinkedIn blurbs, your posts?
I should. My first one was so, it sounded so much like AI that I'm kind of doubting it. But
hey, but didn't you clarify not AI in your message?
I don't think I did.
Oh, dude, come on. That's 2025. You got to do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you still looking forward to those next steps? Or are you wanting to more live in the moment?
I think I definitely want some clarity as to what life can be like. But in the theme of living with loose hands, I think I've been living with tight hands when it came to like job. It's like, oh God, like I have to be software engineer again. Like, I feel like I'm called to be a Nova, but loose hands. I'm just, yeah.
Would you classify that as an idol in the past few years, or would you say it's more of like a worry?
I don't think it was an idol, but I think I was missing the mark where, well, it's not limited to just job. It extends to other facets in life too, but I missed the mark because my understanding of God was his goodness is limited to the things I think are good.
Mm.
But that's not true.
Mm. Dang, that's great. Huh. So Daniel, as you've been walking through all this time, I'm sure you have great friends and brothers and sisters who help walk with you. Is there any person you can think of that you would just like to shout out as someone who's really personally invested in you and really helped you in your own spiritual walk just throughout all this time?
Yeah. I don't really like name dropping this person.
Sure.
I guess I have to, but shout out to Alex Ham.
Yo.
Yeah, just the series of events that have led him to me, or like me to him, I guess, and from where we've gone from there, it's only by the work of like the Lord. It actually started with the putting competition. Like,
really?
Yeah. Who knew winning the putting competition would like put me on his radar? Because afterwards he came up to me, a Christian, and he was like, "Hey, we should like get lunch together." I won't go into the details of like how it actually happened, but we ended up getting lunch, and then because of that, I joined his like May CG, which apparently was a pretty last minute decision that just opened up for that month. Mm-hmm. And then May CG led me to like committing to CG again for the upcoming summer, I guess, which is also how I got involved with CCM. And then CCM led me to kind of this accountability group that we're doing together. And then that has led me to where I am now. So yeah, thanks, Alex.
Dang, that was great. How has that relationship developed over the past year? I'm sure it was pretty tough. And originally you're like, who the heck is this guy? Like, why is he doing all this stuff?
Low-key is getting tougher, but no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's been... I don't know if I want to share this on air, but...
You don't have to.
I think in many ways, Alex has been kind of like an older brother figure that I've looked for in a long time, or for a long time.
You didn't really have that kind of throughout this point?
Not really.
How has that influenced how you want to minister to not just college students, but then other people in your life?
Mm. So name dropping the Romans roundtable again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure to sign up for the next roundtable.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm there.
Yeah. There's this verse in, I think, Romans 3, maybe 4, or I think 3 or 2. Paul's like, I'm indebted to these people. And then namely, he didn't say he's indebted to like God to minister to these people. He's indebted to these people. And I think that's something that's on my heart a little, where I don't want to, like, if I were to play a similar role as like Alex in my life for other people, I wouldn't want it to be like, God, I'm indebted to you to do this. I'm indebted to these, like them.
Mm.
Yeah. It's living like Paul, I guess.
Gotcha. Hey, he's a good role model.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
All right, well, Daniel, thanks so much for being on, man. I had a really good time talking. I hope I didn't stress you too much out. Set you out too much. but yeah, we'll catch you guys on the next one. See ya.
Bye.